G'day there, Cygnets and Swanlings. It is Chris again, and this time I am joined by Baby Beatson, Noddy. Mate, welcome to the potty. This is your potty, the old trade recap, mate. How you doing?
Yeah, good, mate. Exciting times.
So, Noddy, let's get stuck straight into it, mate. Let's go ahead and talk about the listings. I'm going to rattle off the names of the listings that have happened so far. And if you want to give me just a short paragraph of what you feel and how they went, everyone at home can play the same game, mate. So delistings, let's start off with Clark, mate. Ryan Clark, how did you feel about his delisting?
Oh, look, it was one of those things. I think it was probably just time. I know he's good mates with Papley, but, you know, he played an awesome role in the 22 run to the grand final clamps. But, yeah, four games or so short of 100 across both North and Swans. I think he can hold his head high. He had a pretty good career. But, yeah, it was just time to move on, I think, and bring in some new legs.
Fair enough, mate. What about Will Gould? A much maligned Will Gould.
Yeah, I mean, you either love him or you hate him, and I'm somewhere in between. I guess they're both strong words, but yeah, look, he obviously got delisted. You'd think he's probably going to head back to South Australia and probably take up a spot at Glenelg. I think he played there as an under-18 player in the seniors and helped them win a flag, and ironically, I think that's just happened with an ex-Swan who was delisted. Toby Pink has just been picked up by, or looking North Melbourne's looking to pick him up. So I don't know if that's a fair bit of irony, but that just tells you that maybe there's a chance for Gould on the horizon to work his way back into the system, because you know, he certainly could kick and he had a bit of swagger about him, but yeah, just couldn't crack in, unfortunately. So yeah, time to similarly just cut and take a fresh take.
Fair enough. And a couple of the VFL players that have kind of had their time as well. What about Rankin?
Yeah, Rankin is one of those ones that I thought that maybe could have stayed. Good on both feet, could play out the back, in the middle, and a little bit up front. But yeah, I just think that all of these delistings, I'm looking at all of them, we'll keep working through them. They're players that probably could have stayed if Buddy was here for another year. Do you know what I mean? But since it's been such a big structural change and we've had these big players come in that we're going to go into, I think they're releasing some of these 50-50 players to make space for all these players and some more new players. So that's where we're at, I think. Yeah.
Yep. A bit of money to spend and looking for some more high quality talent. Yep. Speaking of which, Sheather, who did see a bit of time in the AFL for this year, he has delisted as well. What do you think about his?
Yeah, funnily and / sadly known for that gigantic Falcon. Well, not known for. Look, I think he got an injury at the wrong time, and then again has just sort of fallen victim to this structural, you know, revamp. So he's a player that, you know, I love seeing academy players succeed. He's from the Central Coast as well, which is, you know, awesome for footy up there. But yeah, I think it's just one of those unfortunate things. I think I said last week, I think his foot injury came at the wrong time. So Sheather delisted.
Hugo Hawker-Hahn, HHK, the hyphen, what about him, mate? That was a bit of a surprise, I feel.
Yeah, that me too, mate. Like he was the one that I said in last week's ep that I thought that he's worth sticking around just for his ability to hit the scoreboard. I mean, he did it consistently across the VFL season. So it got better, I think, towards the end. So he's a good height. He can run as well. Like could play, you know, half forward. But yeah, they're obviously new things that we didn't and have let him go. And I guess that's the name of the game at this time of the year.
Yeah, that's it, mate. And the last one, Cameron Owen. I felt this one was a bit coming on, but at the same time, we did need that kind of position going forward. But it looks like we're filled up at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, look, youngest developing ruck is the role that Owen took, and you know, had good height about him, had really good ruck craft, but I think he actually played more key forward than anything. So he's untested and too young, I think, and because he's a ruck, I think he's got a future ahead of him. I said it last week, I'll say it again now. I'm hopeful that he actually gets a gig with the Tassie Devils one day. I think he's a good enough player to play AFL. He's just young and again a victim of our structural change at this point in time in our club's journey. So unfortunate. And if we do take a player such as Caleb May from the academy, who's a 206 centimetre ruck, then we're covered for that youngest developing role player. So yeah, unfortunate, but these were the 60 listings so far.
Yeah, that's quite touching there, I guess, on what's happening and what you mentioned there about what's going on with the buddy money, I guess, and the way we're going really starting to push it, kind of open up some things. Speaking of which, we do have a few names here that we're not 100% sure exactly what's happening. So Sam Reed, mate, I know this has been the question mark over a lot of Swans fans. What's your take on it?
Well, I think I don't know if it was officially reported or someone just surmised it from a Swans, you know, probably Charlie Gardner. But I guess the thinking is that you know, since we haven't heard anything and he's been out all year, right, hamstring operation or something, that he's being made to wait till the end of the trade period. As we go through it, we'll see that we've probably done everything we're going to do, maybe, in the trade period. Ahead of us is still the national draft and the rookie draft. But yeah, so we may find out in the next couple of days what's happening with Sam Reed. What about you, mate? Do you think we should keep him for depth or?
I'm an enormous Sam Reed fan, a massive, massive fan. I love the guy. I think he's fantastic. I think our best team had him in it, and I think we mentioned that a few times in the last couple of years. But just given his age, given the tendency to get injured, I feel that it's probably time to start letting go of Sam Reed. Of course, that comes with the caveat of, you know, if we've got no talent out there and we have the money to spend, why not bring him on for another season? Maybe they've worked something out with the hammies or with this particular doctor that some other one hasn't. For me, it's a deal list at the moment.
I think I'm kind of sitting the other way, if I can just add to that.
Sure.
Because I think if he's fit and he agrees to a reduction in his salary, because I think that's pretty key, then I think that we're sort of obsessed with keeping age on the list. You can see that we've actively sought to get experience into the team with three of the four ins. But yeah, so I've got this weird feeling that I think they'll keep him there for both ends of the ground. It'd be really cool to see if he could, you know, stay fit and then push Melican and maybe Hamling, as it turns out. But yeah, in the key defensive role. But yeah, I think they're the two or three conditions. He's got to be fit. He's got to take a pay cut. And if you've got those, then why not?
The position is there for him. I think there'd be very few Swans fans that wouldn't love to see him raise a cup. I tell you that much. We'd be happy with that. Sam Wicks, little pressure forward, mate. He's the other one that we have question marks about. What do you think?
Big question mark. I don't know why this isn't done. I mean, it's a no-brainer for me. I mean, he's a Sydney boy. He's clearly in our best 6-7 forwards. Huge role player. Can kick a goal. Love his pressure. Love his energy. Sometimes throws a wayward elbow here or there, gets up in the grill of the opposition, but we love a bit of that. But yeah, look, I can only guess he's asking for more because he's coming from a low base, right? His academy, he's had to work up, he's getting match payments, but I guess his manager is seeking him a higher start point, and maybe the club's not coming around to that. So I just don't know why else it would take this long. I mean, the other thing is duration. I mean, maybe he's pushing for a longer contract than they're willing to give him, but that you know, value forms part of that. So, I don't know, mate. I mean, he's a lock for you, right?
Kind of. I mean, that position that he plays, you know, we have had a few people play that position, and who's to say that some of these other smaller VFL gents can't fall into that role? He didn't kick a lot of goals, but as we've suggested 100 times in the last couple of years, that's not necessarily his role. His role is for pressure, but maybe we do see some other players in the game, that, in the VFL in particular, that could probably put on that pressure. So we're not necessarily willing to just throw everything at him. And at the same time, the trade is still going on. There's still a bit of room to give, and we've got, as we'll talk about in a second, some things we need to lock up. So maybe there's maybe this one gets done quickly
after. Yeah, the other way to look at it is maybe they're potentially considering clearing both Reed and Wicks to make one more play, but again, that's we'll keep talking about that throughout this chat. Yeah, but I I don't know, a Sydney boy. Why are we not just locking him away?
We do love our locals. Mate, the last one here, Jaden Magor. Looks like he may go like that. It's pretty good. what do you think about him, mate?
I think he may stay, funnily enough, mate. How's your surname? He was, again, 50-50 for me. I thought it was somewhat, I thought it was between the hyphen and Magor slash Rankin. But I think Magor really, and I said last week, he really stepped up when they moved him back to halfback back pocket. He's got a good kick. He's got a good head. He came in the rookie draft, I believe. And was taken for as a small forward with X Factor. But I think he found his feet in the back half. And I think he's got a few connections in the club, potentially. I'm not saying that's the only reason he's stayed. I mean, we don't know if he's stayed. We just haven't heard. But the fact he wasn't included in those other six delistings makes you think that he's probably survived and maybe gets a one-year extension. But you never know. Maybe he gets delisted, relisted. Maybe it's a rookie A sort of play, a list structure play. We don't really know yet, but you would have to think that he holds.
Yeah, at this point. So that's the delistings. That's the question marks. We get into the exciting things, the additions, the pluses. Let's get stuck straight into the free agents secured. So we've got ourselves James Jordan from the D's. Mate, I am particularly happy about this one. Where do you see him rolling in?
It's a great get, mate. It's a great get for him, and it's a great get for us. And it's the one of the four major ins that is sort of future proofing, because he's still young, right? He'll be 23 next year. He was taken at 33 in the 2018 draft. Broke out obviously in 2021, the D's flag year, and has played 65 games in the past 3 years, but just hasn't been able to crack in, right? We talk about them a lot. You know, the star-studded D midfield. How funny would it have been if Clayton Oliver ended up coming to the Swans and then he couldn't get a gig here either. But, I think it's a great get. I will just say his name is spelt Jordan.
Jordan.
Like, your game is on, Jordan, not Jordan, as many already want to spell. That's okay. That's a me thing. I'm working through that, but... Yeah, you must have seen a lot of Jordans out there already, Michael Jordans.
So many Jordans. I even did it myself once already. So
did you?
I will put my hand up so far. One thing about Jordan is that he's actually, in terms of age, height, size, is basically a replica of Roey as well. So we kind of see that, but obviously a very different player, a little bit better with usage of the ball. So we got ourselves an age profile, someone else that can roll into that midfield and maybe do some damage and get himself a spot.
Yeah, I mean, it's unclear where his best position is. He was used, I think, both in and out at the D's, and you would probably think that's his start point at the Swans. But you never know. He could work to be a full inside midfielder. But yeah, I think his utility is the one of the things that attracted, and the fact he was an unrestricted free agent, we could just get him without a trade. So that was a plus. But yeah, genuinely excited. I think it's a great get and a great way to start off the trade period for us.
Yep, for sure. All right, moving on to Joel Hamling over from Frio. This one got everyone a little bit a little bit confused in some ways before the acceptance kicked in and we realized that a key defender is something that we are desperately in need of. Let's talk through Joel Hamling. Key defender, does he roll in straight into our best 22?
Yeah, look, I don't think so, mate. Not yet. You know, I think it's a depth play. And again, this sort of play for age and experience to bolster our average age. I mean, we keep talking about Horse and Beetson and Gardner. They keep saying the last two flags, they've had the two oldest teams in history or something. So I think it's a clear strategy this year to replenish with age, which is almost like, a redundant word coupling or something. But yeah, so he'll be 31 next year. He played 23 games for the Dogs in 15 and 16. He was obviously a part of the 16 grand final. Did a pretty good job on Buddy that year. And then he's from WA, so he moved back after that. He played 3 years at Frio immediately after that, so 17, 18, 19, averaged 21 games a season. But the most recent 3 years, he's played a total of 6 games with a horrendous run of ankle and leg injuries. So... I mean, he's fit because he obviously played one one game, and then four games this year, but couldn't crack back in with Alex Pierce and Brennan Cox and a few of their other talls who I'm forgetting don't come to mind right now. But he can play for sure. He's not taller than McCartan or Melican, and he's skinnier than them both. So I feel like he'd be an interceptor, and McCartan would be the lockdown. But I feel like we're wanting to free up McCartan to be that interceptor and then have someone like Melican or... Yeah, I thought that that's what we're trying to do, is bring in that sort of taller, probably more lockdown key defender role. But anyway, look, that's why I think it's a depth play. But it's a good move. I think it's a good move.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with it. Kind of got that Scott Hatterberg, for anyone out there who knows Moneyball, that first baseman who they got in from a statistical perspective to get him in just because it made a bit of sense to the flow of the team. It's got that kind of energy to it. So I'm a little bit confused, but at the same time, as you said, there's some depth in a place where we didn't have, and definitely a bit of experience that can't go wrong.
The other thing there, mate, I believe he is he has Indigenous heritage. So I think it's always good to have Indigenous players in the squad, with Buddy out. And obviously, the year before that, James Bell went out. But we have Cooper Vickery and Joel Hamling, who will be our representing our Indigenous.
Flying the flag.
So, yeah, I think it's good, not just for that, but it also helps, I think, in that, it's... I think we need. We probably should have a few more Indigenous players, but this is where we're at for heading into 2024, and so that's a good spot.
Okay, so from an old name coming into a new team, from a young player heading over to another team, we have ourselves Dylan Stevens, who is now traded out to North Melbourne, the team that he,
nominated.
Nominations, that's right. It's a weird thing that the friggin' AFL does. mate, what was the breakdown to that trade?
So North get Stevens and our second round pick, which is currently 25. A lot of people lost their shit over that today. And we, in return, got their third round pick, which is currently 44, and their future first, which is going to be the first of their two that they'll receive that come at the end of the first round, which is the second half of this gigantic assistance package that North are getting. So it'll end up probably being like a pick 19. So if you do the numbers between 25, 44 and probably 19, it's effectively pick 33 equivalent, which I think is probably fair, given the fact that he just wasn't getting a game. I think people look at Liam Henry in Frio and Frio demanding more, but I think Ball is developing a reputation like Dodoro, and that he's notoriously hard to deal with and asks too much for players that aren't worth that much. So I think we were better to take this and work with North and take this than run the risk of what Adelaide threatened us with, Dawson, and walk into the preseason draft, which they could have done. And North probably would have, Eagles could have taken him if they had enough spots on the list, but North could have taken Stevens for nothing in the preseason draft. So I think this is a better outcome. But yeah, it's a shame we've lost our pick five, but it just it hasn't really worked out, has it?
No, it hasn't. And even Steve-O, as he said, and just to drop a bit of a truth bomb on everyone, he was a player that couldn't scrape into the 22 of a team that could barely scrape themselves into the top eight. So if we look at it from that perspective, the fact that we got what we got for him, I think is a pretty fair deal in my eyes.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good move by him. He's a lock. He is a lock on the left wing at North.
Yeah.
And Clarko, for all his sins and evils, he's a good coach. If you just look at that part of him, I think it'd be exciting for Stevens knowing that You are going to what was a rabble of a club that's trying to get better with all this help from the AFL, integrity issues aside. Yeah. But yeah, so I get it from his point of view. I get it from our point of view. Just a shame we didn't take Caleb Sarong. That would have solved all our problems.
It would have been very different altogether. We wish him all the best. Fan. Yeah, I know. Look, Dill Stevens, we wish him all the best. We hope he gets all the game time he deserves to get over there in North. And I still maintain that I think he's going to turn out to be a pretty sweet player, but he just needs the time to make it happen.
And, I agree.
There he might get all of that. Okay, mate, let's get stuck into some really fun things. So the big news, the man we've been hunting down for a little while, the man that we did not think we were going to get or even get close to getting, nominated us, and then we started working with Melbourne to make it happen, and then Collingwood did their best to kind of dig their little heels in, because you know that's just what they do. Brody Grundy is officially a Swan as at only a few hours ago. Noddy, tell us about the trade. Take it away.
Mate, this is awesome. And before I get into it, I actually think it was probably the video that you made about enticing Grundy, or you know, selling all the positive points of Sydney to Brody Grundy. So I like to think that's it's one part of the story that got him over the line.
I think it's a major part, and I will point out that was Jules's idea. So Jules, as always, just nailing things. I think she's the one to bring him over, so she deserves all the credit.
She's the mastermind. Yep. So listen, we obviously get Brody Grundy, and he's going to absolutely help us with our issues there in that part of the ground. Melbourne get our third round pick, which is currently 46, and our second round pick next year, which might end up being in the late 30s. So if you do the numbers, the equivalent pick that we've handed back to Melbourne is somewhere between 21 and 23, if I'm not wrong. So that's higher than what we were considering. And it's higher than what Melbourne gave Collingwood when Collingwood were trying to dump him, right? But the circumstances are totally different. Melbourne was spouting out that he's a required player. And I mean, he was contracted for another 4 years until the end of 27, at which point he was a non-free agent, right? So that takes a lot of prizing out. The fact that they didn't play him and they chose Josh Shackey over him for the final really speaks volumes. So it's a bit of a piss take. But look, I think it's an overwhelming win. And if we put it in conjunction with Taylor Adams, that we'll touch on in a second, it's a huge win. And the big positive is that the Collingwood list manager, I think his name is Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, has said on air that Collingwood has heads of agreement with Grundy directly, so Collingwood will need to keep paying Grundy that $250 or so a year until the end of 27. So that will only cost us, you know, whatever his total is, let's say $650 or so a year. So it's an absolute steal for an elite ruckman.
Yep, 100%. New South Wales police are knocking on the door of Kinnear Beetson's house right now to understand how this robbery happened in daylight. That is a wicked, wicked deal for us to get him in, as you said there. All the reasons, it just makes our list a whole lot better. Plugging in some pieces that we were dearly missing for some years now. Mate, the other one that came through, his old brethren, as it turns out, very, very good close mates. Taylor Adams got done today as well, mate. What happened in that deal?
Yeah, so it's pretty clean. We get Taylor Adams, and Collingwood get our second round pick, which is currently 33. So again, that was a little bit, lower. That ended up being in our favour, I think. So for all the talk that Wright said, you know, we want they were both fighting over our 25 or whatever it was at that point. I think it's a big win for us. So that shows you that I think Collingwood were open to the trade. They're obviously, I think it was one more year to run on his contract there. We're offering three, and that just shows you that, yeah, even though he played, 23 games this year and got injured at the wrong time, he's probably not in their plans going forward. And he serves a big need for us. So he ticks the age and experience profile, and he ticks the elite in and under mid that we need. So it's a bloody good get. The only question mark, obviously, and this is every player, but more so with players who've had this, is will he stay fit? I think he's had some hamstring issues. But Grundy and Adams, mate, like, how good. We haven't had a trade period like this really since Buddy.
No, it's been a pretty ordinary trade period. In particular, last year was a shocker. It's been funny with Taylor Adams, because And this has been posted on social media everywhere. It's not hard to find, but you'll see plenty of Collingwood supporters 2 weeks ago be upset that he didn't get himself a medal because he got dropped from, or he got himself injured before the grand final, and didn't get himself a premiership medal as a result of it, in one hand. And then a week and a half later, when there's noise about him coming to the Swans, all of a sudden he's not that good of a player and he's highly injured all the time. So chalk and cheese how the Collingwood supporters feel, but all in all, we're pretty happy with that. And especially for the price we got him for, feels in a position. So I guess Noddy, Brundy Taylor Adams piece, that is the huge piece there. That is immediately some plugs of pieces that we needed, and brings in a lot of experience with some players in, in prime in one aspect, and a little bit more saltier than prime, but still in pretty good spot.
Well, I think the fact that we lost Mills in the circumstances it increased the need to bring in another midfielder. And, I think it was Horse said that even with Parker and Mills in the mix, we're one of the youngest midfield units in the comp. That's just looking at lines, right? The midfield unit. So, we lose a 26, 27-year-old, and we bring in a 30, 31-year-old in Mills and Adams. So, Parker gets some help from a player that sort of plays a little bit like him. So, maybe they share midfield forward minutes. Maybe they go in the guts together and just flick it out to Warner and Campbell and Goulden, just doing silky smooth things. It's genuinely exciting, mate. Like, it changes the way that I've been thinking about 2024 already. And I know I'm not alone in that, but I don't know.
As a man who thinks about it a lot, and even to me, doesn't necessarily think about it that much, but even my considerations of what the trade period looked like, even at the best possible scenario, did not look anything like this. This is genuinely blown past my expectations, and even the highest part of my expectations. This trade period is already, having said that, we haven't seen him on the field, of course, and whatever else can happen throughout the year, it's a long season. But just in terms of what's on paper, the pieces that we're plugging in, they look fantastic, and I'm super happy with what it is so far.
Definitely. And just going back to your comment about the Pies, I'll just have to quote Matt from the Bevy. What did you say? It just highlights the cognitive dissonance that exists in Pies fans or something like that. I thought that was a great line.
He's very good with words. I love it.
Too right, mate. And the other thing is, shout out to Steve-O, who was killing some time in a meeting in Finland. And he did a list of all the trade ins and outs since Buddy. So I don't know. Should I read it out? Basically, okay. 2013. So this is in and out, right? Franklin, Laidler, Derek's in. Mumford, White, Everett out. 2014, none in. Malcheski, Membry, Dick, Biggs out. 2015, Sinclair, Talia in. Jetta, Bird out. 2016, none. Mitchell, Nankervis out. I know Swans fans are still salty about that one. 2017, none in. Murray out. 2018, Menzel, Clark, Thurlow in. Rowan, Hannabry, Newman out. 2019, Brand, Gray, Taylor in. Jones, Cameron out. 2020, Hickey in. Allier out. 2021, Laddams in. Dawson, Hewitt out. 2022, Francis in. None out. 2023, Grundy, Adams, Jordan, Hamling in. Stevens out. So you tell me, mate, 2023 is
the best of all of those ones you said outside the Buddy one. Just
in a decade.
After that, 100%, 100%.
Yeah, thanks for that work, Steve-O. When you put it in those terms, we've clearly been sort of doing what we can to maintain the core players, and then just sort of have players from the draft take their chance. And that's sort of the bulk of our team now, plus a few of our older core players. But and then life without Buddy. So yeah, mate, that's the trade period, unless we have got something else up our sleeve. But
I don't know. That's a question for you. Do you see that we're going to be chasing down anything else? As you mentioned there, we still have a couple of pieces that we could trade out. We do have a few pieces there in the national draft. But keeping in mind, I know everyone out there may or may not know this, but we do need to pick up three rookies, or not even rookies, but three people off the draft, right? That's something we need to do.
So we're obliged to take three in the national draft. We're not obliged to take any in the preseason or the rookie draft, although we probably will take in the rookie draft as pre-selections through the academy arrangement that we have in place with the AFL. But yeah, so just highlighting that, Chris, a good point. So we've got currently, as stands today, we've got pick 12, 44 and 54 only remaining in hand. We also still have future first and future third, I believe. I think we got rid of our future second in the Grundy deal. Yes. So we've still got a few picks in hand. And I know a few fans have already suggested maybe we trade back 12 so we have a few extra picks. But I don't know, mate. I think, you know, that's pretty clean. We've got 12. We've got three picks. We need three players. I think we just get the best available and then make the most of it there. I mean, I don't know. Should I just keep talking, mate? I know I've got a position on this, but
No, go for it, mate. I don't really have a position on what to do from here. I kind of am pretty satisfied with the way it sits up. I also like the fact that we've locked up a lot of our younger players we don't have to get into now. There's not the time and place to do it. We'll do that in more like the season preview episode, which will go into all the teams, the players, the young ones we've locked in for the time we've locked them in. Of course, Errol is one of them where we need to lock in, but that's a conversation for another time. So I'm pretty happy with the way the field looks now. So, yeah, what's your take on it? What do you see us using those spots for?
Yeah, and I've said this for a while now. I think it's definitely going to depend on if a bid comes earlier than expected for Caden Cleary. So he's our Gun Academy talent this year. We've got a few really good players that are in the mix, but he's the one that other clubs might be looking at. I think Toomey has him touted to go... he actually wasn't even in Toomey's top 30, sorry. But Beetson himself and Cleary's manager are thinking somewhere around the second or third rounds. So if that holds, then that could be pick 44, right? But if a bid does come, then we'll probably have to use 12. I've been saying for a while that we may just have to take Cleary on deficit. We want to try and get one good player before Cleary would be great, would be what we're hoping for. But, you know, there's a lot of clubs out there that would probably want to dick us over for some of the moves we've played on them in the last couple of years. So I'm, you know, obviously we know that 12 is more likely going to become, you know, 14, 15 or even 16. Wait, 12, 13, 14. It's going to drop back a few spots depending on how many academy, you know, the Gold Coast have got these three academy players. If they all get bids in the first the first 10, then that's going to push our pick back. There's a few father and sons. There's the Mackay compensation for three, so that's pushed it back already. I'm hopeful that we can get a player like Connor O'Sullivan, who's another fantastic player that played in this record-breaking Allies team. He's a key defender, 198 centimetres. He can lock down, he can intercept, he can run and kick. He really would be a fantastic get, but I think he's touted to go in the top 10. So if we don't get him, there's another one, Ollie Murphy. He's 200 centimetres from Sandringham Dragons. He looks a bit skinny for me. I've seen some vision. I don't like what I see, but, you know, I haven't seen him play live. Maybe they want someone else. But I think typically the way they do it is that the best player, regardless of position, at that point in time. That's usually how most of them run with it, and certainly Beetson. We take the best player at 12, hopefully Cleary at 44, and then maybe a roughy or a diamond in the rough, a Beetson diamond at 54, or another academy player there. But if he doesn't, what happens if academy players don't get bid on in the national draft? We have the option to automatically pre-select them. It's what happened with Will Edwards and Mark Sheather as well. So if we've got all these academy guys that we think can play a role and they don't get looked at in the draft, then we have the option to take them automatically pre-selection New South Wales zone. But we can only take three. I'll keep harping on about this. I've said this ad nauseum in the group, but yeah, that's why I'm thinking Edwards will shift up and we'll look at taking three, having a maximum three. But anyway, I'm sort of digressing. But is that us done? Who knows, mate? Maybe, as we said, like if Reed and Wicks don't extend, that's potentially another 800K that we could throw towards. I mean, I asked this question to you in the group tonight. if we could take any, I mean, noting that we threw $11 million over 10 years to Norton, apparently.
Apparently.
Allegedly. If we seriously still have that kind of coin on top of these four ins, plus, you know, Errol and Logan and all these other, these players that we've got to top up, then if you could have anyone in the comp, who would you go for?
See, I think the fact that we're cashed up is only something because we're cashed up for this year or next year, I think. I would dare say that there's some players to pay up and soon enough. So
there will be salary cap increases, though, that's connected true, to the next collective bargaining agreement.
Every single manager out there is going to be effectively...
is aware of that. Yeah,
it's going to be licking their fingers. Is that what it said? I don't even know how it's pronounced. But
yeah, definitely, mate. Yeah.
Licking their fingers and touching their hands or something.
To put it into context, mate, by the end of the last CBA, the average wage, I think, was around $350, $360. By the end of this next version, so by the end of 2027, the average wage will be $520,000.
There you go. So that's, I think a lot of the money is just going to be going towards the players that they have, not necessarily to build out a list.
Exactly.
I don't think that's what anyone wants. So that's sent to factor in. So I guess if we're looking out for anyone, I mean, I don't know how many names are out there. Like Harms would have been someone that I would have loved to have seen, whether we could have got him. Of course, he's going to the Doggies. I can understand why. I think he would have felt himself playing a bit more with that midfield, and they do genuinely have a very good list, so they've got a good crack of it. But other than that, of the players that are out there right now, I don't really see anyone I'm too excited about unless we get a smoky out of nowhere, but I feel this time into the trade period would have heard about them by now.
Yeah, I wonder if we're just sort of going to go with what we've got here, plus your national rookie draft pending, and then just have a good crack for one or 2 years and see if there's any of those big players that are gettable, either key defence, because I do think we're probably still going to search for that role unless Melly can completely knock it out of the park next year, and it's possible. But, you know, considering how seriously we looked at Ben Mackay, you'd think that we're still going to have a look. And Brennan Cox was one over at Freo, but I think they gave him a huge extension. I think he's towards the end of the 2020s now, so he's out. Obviously, Barras is still out. Himmelberg's out. So I think that's probably the kind of player they're going to look for. But, yeah, whether or not they... whether, you know, things change so quickly. This time next year, we could be like, you know, premiership team, and we've got the squad to roll on for another couple of years until, you know, Parker and Rampy retire, at which point we're going to keep injecting and picking up
talent.
Yeah.
Well, mate, let's get stuck straight into, lastly, the list changes recap. So what we're going to do here is just walk through all the players that have since, off the books and who they've effectively replaced to keep in the number that we have in the team. So, mate, let's take it away. 1, 2, 3. The three retirements we have there are Paddy, Buddy, and Hickey. Who takes their spots in your eyes?
So, yeah, as you said, three retirements, Paddy, Hickey, Buddy. In for them, automatically, Jordan, Hamlin, Grundy. Stevens traded out, Adams comes in. So there are four acquisitions for that free agency and trade period. Then we have the 6D listings, which is Clark, Gould, Rankin, Owen, Hawker, Hahn, and Sheether. And we'll take three from the national draft and three in the rookies, I think, unless that whole Reed Wicks thing. And that leads into the last three, which is Magor, Reed, and Wicks, who are... to be confirmed, question marks, probably extending, you would think. So that's probably an easier way to look at it. Maybe we can put add a visual to this, but yeah, link to the last post that I did a couple of hours ago. That's probably easier to follow. But anyway, it's just a recap of everything that's happened so far.
Yep, perfect. All right, mate. I think that wraps us up for today. It is the 11th of October, of course, Grundy and Taylor Adams being the last two to come in, the big news, and we want to make sure that we capture that as it happened. That gave us all an idea of what's happening with the list, the listings, the free agents coming in, and the question marks we still have over the team, and the Dill Stevens trade out. So if you want to get any more news about what's going on with the trade, make sure you follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all those fun things. We are doing this on the regular. We've probably got a couple more to go before we get stuck into the postseason, preseason, and everything in between. Don't forget, we're also doing the AFLW and reviewing all of those games as they happen. So, Noddy, mate, it's good to have you as the baby Beetson man from Central Coast. Mate, we'll see you next time.
Cheers, mate. Up the Bloods.
Abdul Blatt, can you Swanee?
Can you Swanee's?